Welcome to Eat, Drink, Cruise, a podcast that supports and is really solely focused on the amazing food and beverage experiences at sea across all the cruise lines in the industry and the people that really make it happen. CLIA, the industry's cruise lines association, recently said they expect 12% growth of passengers cruising in 2024. That's 4 million new cruisers cruising on cruise ships this year, which is really quite amazing. So why do people take cruises? Well, for me and for most, I believe it's the incredible dining and beverage that you can experience on board. So we talk to the interesting people that make it happen and all the behind-the-scenes stories you get with that. Tune in weekly to Eat, Drink, Cruise, a podcast that I host. My name is Ken Taylor, and welcome to the show. So joining him today, guys, is John Devine. I affectionately call him Johnny, and he affectionately calls me
Kenny.
President of Michael J. Devine & Associates. You work with your brother and a whole team, David. I don't actually know who's funnier or maybe even funner to be with, John or David. I'm going to say maybe you, but I'm it's still up in the air. Is there a reason why I should think David?
Well, David's a pretty funny guy. I will say that, you know, growing up, we had a great time and, yeah, we played a prank on one another every now and again, I guess as brothers do.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, we had a fun childhood. That's for sure.
We traveled together and a lot of your clients experienced you two together, which is great. And also, you know, I have to say congratulations on being named president of your group. Your mom is very much the boss still. And I've had dinner with your mom a couple of times, and she's one heck of a lady. There's no question. When someone sits down with her at the table, I can assure you they're prepared. At least that's the perception I always got. And I'm assuming you are equally as prepared as president when you're sitting down with mom. Tell me what that's like.
Yeah, mom still comes in the office every single day. So it's her love, it's her passion. You know, her and my dad started the company back in October of 1983 on a rented typewriter in Manhattan Beach, California. So a lot of long nights, a lot of weekends up in Napa, and it's still just such a love and passion for her and for the rest of the family.
Had you always wanted to work for the family? I mean, the business as it is, your father, and you know, I'd like to hear that story, but you know, off the cuff, this is something you've been interested in doing since really young.
Yeah. You know, I remember when I was, you know, 12 years old, my dad was selling Martini and Rossi. And yeah, it was always a love for him. And he met my mom and, you know, fell in love. And, you know, they opened up the business back in 83. But, you know, my brother and I, funny story, we were in Hong Kong when I was 17 years old. My brother was 15. And we had the idea that we were going to approach my parents and find out when we were going to join the business. We were talking about it, and I guess I was nominated to be the one to ask them. And so we were at dinner, and I said, we would really love to join the business. And my dad and mom both simultaneously said, I don't think it's a good idea. And my brother and I were literally speechless. Didn't know what to say. It was kind of a quiet dinner from then on out, to say the least. But, you know, they explained things to us. And interestingly enough, at that age, 17 and 15, back then, you know, your parents tell you you can't do something. You tend to want to do it even more, yeah. I guess, you know, when you're a teenager.
So, and your brother probably was like, last time I give you that responsibility to.
Some salesman you are.
So you grew up in Rancho in California and or in Corona, really, but you moved to Rancho. Is that right? And then you really got your personal start in that part of the country.
Yeah, I worked for a company called Kennedy Wine Company then in retail sales. Today it's called Constellation. And then I moved on and worked for Southern Wine and Spirits for probably about a year and a half in their Cerritos office. And then at which point my parents asked me to essentially move to Florida and reopen our Florida office. And that's that was in August of 97.
And you moved to Florida and somehow you got down the cruise line track. I know you also provide service to the airline industry. So this would be the duty-free world. How did cognac play into this story?
Yeah, so funny enough, you know, my dad was very, very good friends with Jacques Hardy and Benedict Hardy. And, you know, as sometimes small family businesses do, they struggle at the very beginning. And, you know, it was the 1984 Olympics, and people were coming in from all over the world, and cognac was in high demand as gifts. So my dad and my mom began to sell Hardy Perfection, which is a 150-year-old unblended cognac. And that really is what kind of kept us in business. It was duty-free retail, quite honestly, that kept us afloat, you know, for the first couple of years.
So then you cut your first cruise line deal, and I think Paula, your wife, was involved in that. And I'm just, you know, of all the years we've known each other, I don't know that I've ever sat down with her for dinner with you. I know you've done that with other clients. Is she afraid to sit down with you and some of your better clients? What's that about? I don't remember ever meeting her at the table anyways.
No, my wife is a very lovely person. Her father, Juan Carlos Maggi, was actually my competitor when we first met. But yeah, later on, I guess you could say I played a little bit of a prank on her.
You have to tell me the prank now. What happened here?
Okay, so Al was the buyer in photo and just a fantastic human being. And I went to their house to celebrate several holidays because I didn't know anybody when I first moved here. And anyway, so I had met my wife, and I don't know where I got this thought from, but I said, you know, I really want to stand out. I think she's a beautiful girl. She's, you know, got a great personality, and I've got to do something different to stand out. And I don't know where I got this harebrained idea, but anyway.
What date was this? Like, you were in a first date, or was it you guys have been dating a while?
It was our third date.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So maybe it wasn't the smartest thing in the world to do. But anyway, I had told Paula that they were nudists. And I don't know why still to this day, but we still talk about it, and it's really hilarious.
You told Paula that the client you're having dinner with is a nudist, like a nudist colony member?
That both of them were. Yeah, the both of them were nudists. Yep.
And he was with his wife.
Yep.
How do you approach, what does she do? I can't even imagine.
Yep. Yeah. So Paula called me probably 3 nights in a row leading up to our date with Al and Linda. And it was at a place called Martha's. It was a really nice paddle wheeler in Hollywood, Florida, that was on the Intercoastal Waterway. And it was white tablecloth. And again, I don't know what got into me, but anyway, it did. And I said what I said. And so she called me 3 nights in a row. She said she had spoken with her mother and had no idea what to think or what to do. And I got to the restaurant early because I knew Al and Linda so well. I let them in on the little prank. And Al literally fell off his chair dying laughing. So he thought it was the funniest thing in the world. And so did Linda as well. Because I had gone over their house probably, I don't know, probably 20, 25 times. I was always over there. So my wife comes in and she sits down and she's really nervous. Well, she's my girlfriend, obviously, at the time. But halfway into the meal, I let her in on the little secret. And she laughed pretty hard. And then she kind of looked at me and then she started laughing again. So our first 2 days were really great, and we had a lot of fun. And from there on out, the rest is sort of history, you know,
two kids later, and at least you got out front end that John Devine was going to be John Devine, at least the John that I know and most of your clients know. What's up with you?
I don't know what else to say besides, I guess, that. Well, but
a wife is critical to the success of anybody. And, you know, your industry is about relationships. But let's start with the first one, really, which is your dad. I mean, tell me about, like, he is an icon in the wine business. And obviously, 27 years now, you guys have been doing this. Obviously, he's left us a wonderful person. But in your memory, like, tell me about what it was like once you were started, you know, really did start working for him and getting into the business. You know, was there something, or today as president, what comes to mind that you know your dad would always tell you?
My dad was always, he was a thinker. He was really, really funny. I guess that's sort of kind of where I get some of my humor from anyway. Right. Our humor is a little bit different in some ways. But yeah, I mean, those two things, he was always driven. He came from little means in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and always worked extremely hard. But at the same time, you know, he would always say, you know, when things got tough, we always knew that things would be better. And so his famous line to most people that, you know, were facing difficulties was, this too shall pass. Mm. You know, there will be a brighter day. And so that was something that he always communicated to everybody that he loved and was with. So that was very, very important to him. But it's true. You know, there's always a better day in front of us. So
yeah,
I really, really look back and think about that quite often.
And when you think about what the cruise industry has gone through, he would have been there right there saying, listen, you know what? Doesn't look good, but it's going to pass. It's probably going to pass. So he
certainly with COVID. Certainly yeah. With COVID, he would have said, oh, my goodness, what are we in for? But, you know, look at us now. Cruise lines right now are doing incredible. So it's great to see.
So, John, you, in my mind, are a sales guy. I mean, that's what you do. You move wine, you know, and you work with a lot of different people in the business. When I think of great sales, for me, obviously, on this side of the fence, I work with an agency. We sell our product. But I'm thinking, you know, traditional unit sales like wine, for example, it's really about getting people to make a decision on a multi-unit scale, right? It's like, let's move some product. And my mentor in this area was my father-in-law. One of the things he used to always tell me is like, listen, I used to sell a lot of stuff. He was in the food and beverage business as well. And he's like, but really, I don't look at it as sales. Do you look at it as sales? Because in his mind, what I'm asking here is, it's a relationship business. How do you leverage that?
Well, it is a relationship business. You know, again, I've been in the wine business for over 30 years. So yeah, I mean, you get to know people, and in some cases you get to even know their family, you know, like Alan Linda Rubenstein, for example. You know, you become close with people. And because you've been in the industry for as long as you have, myself, I guess, you know, people do take what you say as good advice. Some do, some don't. But I try to always put myself in the other person's shoes and look at it from their perspective. And that's the way I've always tried to approach things. What would I do if I was a buyer for XYZ Cruise Line, for example? So truth, honesty, and trying to have some fun along the way. I mean, we're quite blessed to be in the business we are. To be able to travel the world and be in the travel sector is really incredible. So I'm very, very thankful and appreciative of being in this industry.
And I think the operators out there, I know, respect you. I was one of them, right? You took me on trips. You've taken others. I think you just got back from Vin Expo. Was that in Paris this year?
Yeah, it was. So we went over there and saw a lot of our international suppliers. We do that every year.
Did you take clients?
In some cases, we do. In some cases, we don't. Right. Many times, we don't. But we still go over there and see all of our as many suppliers as we can. And review our business, because sometimes our suppliers can get caught up or we can get caught up. So it's always a great place, kind of a middle ground, to meet with our suppliers and discuss business and have a few, you know, good times in between. So
when you approach the selling of product on cruise lines, and there are some new players in the client world, right, that this is typically the beverage director category or even the VP of food and beverage, and they call you and say, you know, John, I need to sell more wine. Like, what's your approach to that? Like, this is a really great business opportunity, because now you're basically being invited to have that conversation. How do you start that conversation?
Part of what we do is, you know, we look at a list and we evaluate it, you know, kind of, hey, where are the holes? I mean, this is like any salesperson, right? Where are the opportunities? Can you upsell? Can you develop a new, exciting new program? Whether that's around a single event, you know, like the Kentucky Derby and do a program around that, or, you know, Women of the Vine program, you know, where it's women winemakers around the world. So there's all kinds of great programs that, you know, cruise lines put together, and we try to help with that and come up with new ideas to help drive revenue, make a great statement on their program in and of itself. You know, diversity is very, very important. And having women winemakers is absolutely incredible. And I don't think that we do enough as an industry to promote women in the industry.
Mm-hmm. That's one of your successful programs. Okay, so obviously you keep a pretty good list of supplier products in your distribution channel. the suppliers approach you? How do you pick the wines you're working with?
Yeah, I would say it's a little bit of both. And mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times it's fit. I mean, you know, one that we've been working with, I think now for, I want to say it's been 7 or 8 years, maybe slightly longer than that, is Drouhard Bertrand. So we saw them both at Vin Paris as well as Pro Wine. So they've been a big player of ours, and they were already doing some business out there. But, you know, us together has been an incredible ride. And one of the new wines, interestingly enough, because I know we were going to talk about innovation, and one of the new wines that they have is called Trouble. And it's an unfined, unfiltered, organic product. It's vegan as well. And it's cloudy. And that's actually what Trouble means in French. So anyway, it's really kind of cool. And so that's one of the latest and greatest, but that's the big partners we've been fortunate enough to represent. So.
Is there demand coming to you from the cruise guys saying, look, you know, sustainability is important. You know, and wine, you know, the global players are doing a lot of different things to address these expectations. So that's part of your agenda, really, to make sure we offer that? Unless it's...
Yeah, I mean, it's becoming more and more popular around the globe. You know, over in Sweden, for example, you know, some of the biggest sales within Sweden is in the organic category. Mm-hmm. And it's growing. That and biodynamic, which, you know, we'll say Drouhard Bertrand is one of the main leaders of biodynamics. So yes, that's very, very important moving forward is going to be sustainability, biodynamics, that category.
Yeah. And then other products too, you guys are carrying. Finest Call is on your list. It makes me now wonder, I haven't asked you this question, but what's your favorite cocktail? I mean, you drink a fair amount of wine that I know, but then you also have a cocktail from time to time. What's your favorite cocktail? We typically ask this question to our guests.
Yeah, I would have to say, you know, margarita is definitely one of my faves. I like it with a little jalapeno, actually. I like it a little bit more on the sour side than most normal people do. And mm-hmm. And that I really, really enjoy. So a spicy margarita, I would have to say, is probably my favorite. I enjoy a lot of different cocktails, but I would say that one's got to be. And their fresh lime juice that they do is absolutely delicious in that cocktail. So
the way you got yourself organized, you remain on the East Coast and your brother's on the West Coast, right? And you guys entertain collaboratively from time to time. You're entertaining a lot of clients in Florida. Is there a restaurant that is your go-to? I can't think when I'm thinking of this question, I don't know what it is. Is there a spot or two that you just love to take people to?
In South Florida?
Mm-hmm.
One of my faves, I would have to say, is probably a restaurant down in Wynwood. It's called Uchi. It's more of a kind of a sushi restaurant, but there's a little bit of fusion going on. I absolutely love it. It's a little bit more on the healthier side. So, you know, I travel so much.
What's your guess on how much travel you actually get done in a year?
As of last year, it wasn't that bad, but, you know, we're really starting to speed up now. I think I've been traveling 50% of my time all the way up until now, which is, you know, March 14th. So I would have to say probably 50% of my time so far. Now that will lean out as we get more into the year. It always seems like January through May are always our busiest times. You know, we've got, you know, conventions.
Also new for you guys, and this was interesting for me when you mentioned it, that you're offering other products, and I think you're getting now into the snacks category. So for you to kind of go down that lane, tell me how it was inspired and what exactly are you guys doing there?
Yeah, so we were approached about doing snacks. And so one of the things that we are doing is better for you snacks. That's the only thing that we're really doing right at this moment. We're doing a little bit of crackers and stuff out of chili, for example. But better for you snacks is the category that we're really looking at. It was something that AVP Wyatt Cooper started looking into, and we found that there's some interest in it. So we are pursuing it both for cruise and for airlines right now, and we're excited about it. You know, my kids are 18 and 19 right now. He's got little ones at home, and that's what they, you know, what they do at home is the better for you snacks. And that's kind of how this thing kind of came about, was families are starting to look at the snacks that they eat, and they prefer to have, you know, no artificial colors or flavors and those types of things. So it's really exciting to see. And again, I wasn't as familiar with it as he was. I'm starting to learn more and more about it.
Yeah. Any customer, you know, interest that you starting to feel out?
I mean, we definitely are seeing it in the airlines for sure. So, you know, some of our large carriers are starting to look at it. Some people have said that they would consider it for crew bars and some other things, as well as some of the kids clubs, because it just makes sense if it's better for you. And I mean, I just saw the other day where Siete Chips, which is one of the brands that we represent, was in Publix. And that's great to see. You know, that's obviously mainstream at that point in time.
That's awesome. And that trend, you know, the better for you thing, I mean, I believe it's even happening in wine, right? I mean, isn't there the whole low and no alcohol trend continues? I hadn't heard about it much in wine, but does the trend carry into wine? Are you carrying wines that are lower in ABV?
We certainly are. So one of the wines that we carry is Kendall Jackson, and they make a couple of low ABV wines. There are some wineries out there that have no alcohol in them and are absolutely on fire. You know, one of the wines we don't even carry is called Gießen. And I know that that is absolutely doing incredibly well out there right now. People just love New Zealand. Sauvignon Blanc and Gießen has done a good job making that wine as close to the one with alcohol as possible. I'm sure people like the taste. So that's what's important. And
yeah, if it makes you feel better. And you know, that's the trend. I know, you know, my son's 21. So for him, you know, he's probably not unlike your kids. They're a little more concerned than maybe we were when we were that age. but yeah, I guess that's a great thing. I've really enjoyed, you know, traveling with you, John, and spending time with you over the years. And so I really appreciate you joining our little show here.
Let's do it. Let's grab a glass and toast.
Yeah. And hopefully we won't find ourselves in the same boutique hotel redesigning the interior lobby. That's happening. You're hanging out with John. I just got to tell you, those who listen, this was in Bordeaux, but it can happen. That's all I'm telling you.
It's research and development, Kenny. It's research and development.
Thanks for joining the show. Looking forward to see you, and we'll talk soon.
Great, Kenny. Thank you so much. I appreciate the time.